320 in your hymn book. You guys are going to have to look this one up and help me sing it, because I've never sang it before here, but I know some of you know it, and I would ask all of you that know it to sing really loud, but it's a 320 in your hymn book. We'll start with the chorus.
Oh, yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I'll tell and sing thy story there on high, there with
by and by. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory.
shake your neighbor's hand.
God bless you tonight. Good to be in service again together. Certainly enjoyed the service this morning and just looking forward to what the Lord has for us tonight. Got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord in prayer. It says, please pray for Joyce Wilson and Norma Dodge. I want to remember them in prayer. And then also, Brother Barry asked that we pray for his nephew, Jonathan. And he was run over by a car on the sidewalk and is on respiration, and the doctors say the next 24 hours are very critical and important. So I want to remember him in prayer. The Lord will just move on the scene there. How many has unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring to the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. Oh, the Lord sees each one. Brother Jimmy, would you just come tonight and lead us in a word of prayer over these requests?
Privilege it is to be here tonight, Lord. Grateful for the touch you've given me, Lord. And Lord, you're not a respecter of person, Father. We brought our request before you tonight, Lord, knowing that, Lord, where would we go? But Father, we bring them to you because we know, Lord, you're all sufficient. And Father, we ask you to move upon each and every request here made. Be in the service tonight. Be with Brother West, Lord, and whatever's on his heart, Lord, and open our hearts to receive, Father. Lord, we commit every request into your hands. We commit the service, Lord. We commit our lives, Lord. Help us to surrender all to you. And Father, we'll give you the praise and the glory and honor for each and everything. In Jesus' name.
God bless you. You may be seated. There's a sister here tonight. Forgive me, sister, if I don't say your name right. Shoshana. I believe she has a special for us this evening. So,
Lord bless you, saints. I bring you greetings from Bluffton, Ohio. That's my home church. Brother Ray Erickson, those of you who know me, this song I don't sing it very often, and I don't tell the testimony very often, but I was sitting there, and the Lord told me to sing this song. This is a song the Lord gave me when I was 14 years old, and I was not in a very good place. Sister Lori, this song's for you. Brother and Sister Hoover, this song's for you. When it hurts too much to cry, and you just don't know why you have to go through this again. And when the mountain looks so steep, and the valley looks so deep, that trial you're facing is so tall. That's when God undertakes, and He gives you the strength you need to stand for one more day. 'Cause when the mountains look too steep, and the valleys are too deep, and your strength is all gone, you just cannot hold on. That's when He looks down and says, "Child, I know what you're going through, and I'll give you the strength you need to stand just one more day." So when that night seems so long, and your hope is all gone, He'll give you the grace to hold on. And when the pain gets too great, and child, you're losing your faith, remember you're not all alone. He is whole. Getting too deep, and your strength is all gone. You just cannot hold on. That's when He looks down and says, "Child, I know what you're going through. Yes, I'll give." Just one more day. Oh, 'cause when the mountains look too steep, and your valleys are too deep, and your strength is all gone, you just cannot hold on. That's when Jesus looks down and says, "Child, I know what you're going through. I will give you the strength you need to stand just one more day." Yes, He'll give you the strength you need to stand. Just one more day.
Thank you, sister. God bless you.
Well, the moon.
moving tonight.
Amen.
Oh, Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. Oh, with his manna he does feed. He supplies our every need. Oh, it's sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Oh, come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. Oh, you may feast at Jesus' table all the time. Oh, you fed the multitude, turn the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Oh, the disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfies the hungry every time. Oh, come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. Oh, you may feast at Jesus' table all the time.
Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine.
Amen. I truly believe tonight that that's our desire. We didn't come to just sit and look or listen or see somebody or be seen, but we came to be fed.
Amen.
Amen. We came to draw closer to the Lord and to feel His presence and to worship Him in spirit and truth. So, amen. As our brother comes tonight, amen, I certainly enjoyed what Brother Wes had for us this morning. Looking forward to what the Lord has for us tonight, and just encourage you to pull on the gift. And if you have a need, you just pull, and we know that God can lead a minister right down that path of whatever that you have need of. So you just pull tonight, and it'll make it easier on Him. And amen. We love you tonight and just want to worship the Lord together.
Amen.
Amen. If Brother Wes gets up here and preaches his heart out and you just sit there, it's not going to do anybody any good. But if we come to worship the Lord together, then something can be done. We want to make His presence welcome in our midst. Amen. Let's sing this together tonight.
Oh, Papa God, you saved me from my old life. You forgave me. Oh, you have cleansed. You made me whole. Lord, you touched my heart. You changed my soul. Now I know I need. Papa God.
Oh, why don't we just worship Him together tonight?
Oh, Papa God, Lord, you saved me from my old life. You forgave me.
yes, Lord, you touched my heart, you changed my soul. Now I know I need you so, Papa God.
Oh, let's sing it to him again tonight.
Oh, Papa.
God bless you, saints. Appreciate you all so much. So kind. You're just such a kind group of believers. It's just very gracious. Very gracious and sweet. I appreciate your support and the comments that you made as you were leaving today. It really helps. The pressure that a servant is under when he comes to deliver the word of God is so immense. People really cannot understand it until they have to, you know, be in a position where they have to share a testimony or something like that, and they know that somebody's soul hangs in the balance, you know. And as a Christian, we look at others and we love them so much, and we realize that soul is worth 10,000 worlds. And for that to be hanging in the balance of what we say, if the Lord doesn't take over, there's no hope for them. So it's a monumental thing, and it's a huge, huge burden on the man of God when he comes out and he knows that he's standing before 10,000 worlds times however many's here. That's why, you know, even if you were preaching to one person, you preach with everything you've got, everything that the Lord can muster, you know, everything that he can use you for, you try your best to get out of the way and let him use you, so... Anyway, I want to greet you again and thank you for your gracious kindness and support. Supporting the ministry, supporting the man of God is so important. Your prayers for your pastor. Sometimes I believe that the Lord sets it up to where the prayers of the congregation are the only thing that helps him hang on at times when it gets really tight. People do not ever forget just how valuable that is to your pastor. To the shepherd that watches over the flock and cares for your souls. Hold him up in prayer always. If you will, go ahead and turn to 1 John. 4. While you're turning there, I'd like to say a few years ago, well, when I first came into the message, I was sitting in a congregation and the preacher was preaching. And I saw a man go like this and look at his watch. And the man that was preaching saw him do it. And it threw him off track a little bit. And I could tell it kind of hurt him just a little bit. And so I vowed not to wear a watch from that point on to church. Well, that carried over into my preaching. And this morning, because you all are such wonderful saints of God, you pulled pretty hard, and I lost complete track of time, and I went over a few minutes. My wife told me I probably went over about 10 minutes or so, and I know when people are waiting for lunch and their stomach's growling, sometimes that you know, is louder than the preaching. So I apologize for that, and I thank you again for your grace. I will try to keep an eye on my wife tonight, and she's just going to go like this. So, anyway, all joking aside, we're going into the Word of God now, and I want to open with this in chapter 4 of 1 John. The Lord completely changed gears on me, which I'm always happy. I don't say that as a complaint, but he changed gears on me this afternoon between leaving lunch and coming here, and there wasn't much time for changing gears. So you all really need to be pulling hard tonight. Let's go to chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. That's the main focal point I want you to keep in mind as we read these verses. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Amen. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Amen. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and that he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believe the love of God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Are you starting to get it? That if you have love, God's dwelling in you, and you're, if you don't, then God doesn't dwell in you. John's making this very plain. Verse 17, herein is our love made perfect. What are we looking for? The stature of a perfect man, right? Well, here's how it's made perfect. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Amen. Now that's a mouthful. Right? As the Lord Jesus Christ is, as God is, so are we. Amen. So are we in this present world. Right? There is no fear in him, in love. But perfect love casteth out all fear. Casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment hath we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Lord, we just ask with all respect and all love and all admiration and worship, Lord, that you add your anointing to this word tonight. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this gathering together of the saints. Lord, I know that all over the world, men stand behind pulpits and congregations gather. And Lord, we know that we have saints of like precious faith all across the country tonight gathering together to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. And we just join our voices together with theirs tonight, Lord, and lifting you up and telling you that we are so grateful for the revelation and the kindness that you have showed us and the great love, Lord, that you have given us. Even in the days that we did nothing to deserve it, Lord, you had mercy on us, and you cleaned us up, Lord. You sanctified us. You justified us, Lord. You filled us with your Holy Ghost, Lord, so that others could be drawn to you too, because you're not satisfied, Lord, until the very last one comes in. And Lord, you're not satisfied until you've revealed yourself and showed yourself and allowed yourself to be known by those who call you their God. And Lord, we just dedicate this whole service to you tonight. And we set aside the thoughts of the world, the fears and the pain and anything, Lord, that might be going on that would hinder us. Lord, we set it aside, Lord, to honor you and to hear from you tonight, Lord. So please make yourself known freely among us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may have a seat. You know, there's another chapter 4 I want you to turn to, the one over in Genesis. Just hold it there a minute until we get to that part. You know, the human being is a very complicated thing. And it seems to me that one of the things that really allowed me to open my heart up enough to believe in God and to accept God and accept the truth of the Scripture, one of the things that opened me up and really allowed me to see that was the fact that there is so much potential. There is so much potential in a human being. It's something that our potential outreaches our lives. Mm-hmm. Our lives are just a vapor. They're just, you know, the older you get, young people may think that, you know, it's going to be a million years before you get your license. Then you get your license, you may think it's a million years till you graduate, and then you graduate, and you go through school, and you may think, oh, it's going to be, you know, it just seems like someday I'll be married, and it just seems like it's a million years away, and then that day comes, and then one day you think, wow, here I am. I've got grown children. Where did my life go? It's just a snap of a finger. I mean, when you think back about it, it seems like a long time ago, but in some ways it seems like it was just a moment, and it's gone. You know, this life that we live in, this physical body. And it just seems so strange that it goes by so quickly. And we think back about the dreams of our youth, and if we're not careful, we'll get bitter. We'll let a seed of bitterness, you know, creep in and make you have these regrets and things because of all the potential that laid inside of you that seems so unfulfilled. You know, a person with great imagination can never, never satisfy that imagination. You know, I think that's one of the reasons, there's many, but I think it's one of the reasons that we were instructed by the Scripture to cast down imaginations. But, you know, good ones aren't bad. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having imagination. It's just the ones that are a challenge to our belief, a challenge to God, to the Word. Those are the things we're supposed to cast down. But if you think about it, I mean, for those of you that believe they put a man on the moon, look at that. You know, I'm not going to stand here and testify that they did. I don't know if they did or not. They say they did. Some people are saying they did, and I don't know. I don't know if God would let man step on the face of his bride or not. I'm not sure about that. That's just a joke. Don't take me seriously on that. But there's such potential in human beings, and when they come together and they work together, oh my goodness. I mean, we look at Babel in the tower, and God said, oh, there's so much potential there. They're going to develop technology. They're going to progress too far on the sinful side too fast. They're going to go too far too fast, and he scattered them. And he scattered the languages. And he sent, and everybody went off into different parts of the world and developed different cultures. And these different languages and all these things, they hindered the progress that man could make. They hindered it and slowed it down. You know? The development of different things. And with the world being split, the resources were split. So it slowed everything down. God just slowed everything down. He just made everything come to a crawl as far as technology goes, so that the Word would have time and his revelation would have time to be fulfilled. You know, his timeline, he just stopped the devil dead in his tracks. Because the devil wanted to bring about, you know, and just throttle open, wide open, as fast as he could. He wanted to bring about his plan. He wanted to form his Eden on earth. He wanted to thumb his finger, you know, his thumb in the nose of his nose up at God and just have full-blown rebellion and just mislead as much of mankind as he could, and he wanted to do it quickly. So he wanted to show man, first of all, that he was going to build this tower. Lord, the Lord's doing this. I did not even have this thought before. He wanted to show man that man could achieve Godship through his plan by building this tower and making himself greater than God. And God said, no, I have children that have not come about yet, that have not gotten here yet. We're going to slow this thing down. Devil, you're not going to do what you think you're going to do. Now, one of the things that's always been confusing, and what's strange about this is it's not confusing to the devil. It's not confusing to him or his people at all, but it's confusing to us because we hold out hope and we have such love that we do not want to see a single soul lost. You know, it's not the Lord's will that any be lost, right? That's what the scripture proclaims. So it's not his will, then his sons and daughters are going to be cut from the same cloth. They're going to, with his spirit living inside of you, you're going to feel the same way. You don't want to see anybody lost. Some of you probably had dreadful, terrible enemies that have done nothing but make it their life's work to try to tear you down and beat you down and destroy your life any way they could, to make you miserable any way they could, maybe on the job, maybe in your family, who knows? You've had someone like that in your life that has just constantly come at you. And at the end of the day, if you stood before God with that person, you'd put your arm around them and you'd say, "Lord, have mercy, please, forgive them." They didn't know they were going to be standing. When Jesus was on that cross and he said that, he was saying, they do not realize that they're going to be standing before you one day and they're going to be judged for this. They don't know what they're doing. The love of God is what puts that in your heart and makes it possible for us to be that way. And it's such a hard thing, Brother Nathan. At times it's so hard because in this flesh, we're all connected to the devil too. In the flesh. Not in the soul. Praise God. Praise God. That's the thing that tore us apart, that brought us to a new birth, is because there was just something down inside that would not give into this flesh completely. That would not give up. That just believed, you know. And that human potential is one of the things I looked at. I said, we are not finite creatures. We are not designed for a short period of time. We are not designed to live for just a vapor. The potential that is within us that God gave us is eternal.
Amen.
Eternity itself is the only thing that could come close to satisfying the potential that God put inside of a man. That's the only thing, brother. There is nothing else. My parents used to... You know, my parents and family and stuff, they used to laugh because every day I had a different idea of something I wanted to do. One day I was wanting to build a robot. The next day I was wanting to make a rocket ship. You know, I had a crazy uncle who he had a fever when he was a kid and it put him off in the head a little bit. Taught me how to make gunpowder, you know. I was blowing things up. The law came to see what the noise was all about. You know, when I was a kid, I was always doing something. One time I tried to make a flying suit, you know, like a, you ever seen a flying squirrel? You know, I had got it in my head I wanted to fly, and I made a flying suit. And one time I took the lawn furniture apart and made wings for my bicycle and just about killed myself coming off. You know, there's the mind never stops. It never stops. You know, and there's so much, you know, and that's not even on God's side there. That's not even the spiritual side. That's just crazy ideas of a kid, you know, who just wanted to do exciting things. Your brain never stops, but this life is too short.
Right.
You'll hear of a great man here and there, and they'll invent one thing or do a few good things, and then they're out of gas, and they go to the grave. But they probably had way more potential than that.
Right.
Way more potential. And spiritually, we have to think, what's our spiritual potential?
All right, brother.
You know, that's what we have to tap into. That's what we have to look at. We see here that the main thing about God is love. Love is tough, especially when we're in a tug of war with this flesh. Oh, it's tough. It's tough to hang on to that. The slightest little thing can send the Holy Ghost off, fluttering off to a branch to wait until we cool down. Mm-hmm. Slightest little bickering, the slightest little thing can send God's spirit away. You know? It can just push it away.
Man.
And we don't remember that. We don't take note of that. And we just let little things get in our way sometimes. Sometimes it's the little foxes, remember? Sometimes it's just the little foxes that really get us. And our choices. I was trying to tell my son this the other day. I was trying to explain to him how choices, everything we do in life is a choice. And all the little things that we do and all the little things that we think and all the little things we say and either do to or for others, they all start to add up and make this picture of our life. And there's no inconsequential actions. There is no inconsequential decisions that we make in our lives. Every decision leads to something. You know, there's no such thing as throwing a rock into a pond and it not making a ripple. There's no, you can't do it. And so I was trying to explain to him, you know, we have all that. You have all this potential, son. You have all of this potential in you, and you don't want to use it to serve the devil. You want to use it to serve God. Luckily, he's got a heart that's tender for the Lord, and he accepts those words. I'm so grateful to the Lord for blessing me with the children I have. But we look at 1 chapter 4 in 1 John there, and we see all about the love of God and how he loved us and how we can be identified. We can be identified by love. It's our identifying marker. It's the thing that, when somebody looks at us, that's how they'll know that God is in us. I'm not talking about hippie love, like John Lennon, like I was talking about this morning. Not talking about that. Not talking about, you know, at the church I grew up in, they would say, they wouldn't say go shake your neighbor's hand. They say go hug your neighbor, you know. And the men hugged the women and everything else. And when I was about 17, there was two or three 30-year-old women that weren't married that were always running all the way across the church to find me. And they would tell me what a good hugger I was and all this stuff. And I was not ignorant of the fact that that was not quite pleasing to God. That did not feel right. Even though I was a 17-year-old young man, that still didn't feel right. I knew there was something that wasn't quite right about that. But that's not the kind of love I'm talking about. I'm talking about the kind of love that'll make you hate sin enough to say something about it. I'm talking about the kind of love that will take a child back to the nursery when they're not behaving in church and wear their hide out. I'm talking about the kind of love that make you go and put your arm around a brother and say, brother, you should not have said that. I'm talking about the kind of love that when he comes back the next year and you've done something wrong and he puts his arm around you, you can accept it. I'm talking about the real love of God that Brother Branham talked about, where you know, a preacher doesn't tell you what you want to hear. He tells you what will change your life. He's running, screaming along the riverbank as you're heading for the waterfall. That's the kind of love that I want. That's what I want more than anything. We look at chapter 4 of Genesis. We go down, let's go down to verse 3. We're going to talk about Cain for just a minute. Because I believe that God and his children, yes, his children, not just God, but his children are revealed in simplicity. And I also believe that Satan and his children are revealed in simplicity. Chapter 4, verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and his offering, he had no respect. He had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? Boy, I tell you what, it's something. There's very few times where we see in the Scripture where the Lord just talks directly to a make-believer or an unbeliever like this with this kind of clarity. Very few times where we see it, where he speaks directly to them. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule, and thou shalt rule over him. Wow. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. You know, the Lord told him, he said, If thou doest well, thou shalt thou not be accepted. You know, this is a kind of a paraphrase of one word. You will be accepted is a paraphrase of one Hebrew word meaning lifting. The Lord said, look, if you'll do well, if you'll do what the word says instead of what you thought was your idea of religion, then I'll lift you up. If that isn't love, I don't know what is. Amen. This is not his child. This is a man with no promise. This is a man with no seed. This is a man who was born 100% in sin, son of the devil, of the evil one. And God said, hey, if you'll do well, I'll lift you up. I'll lift you up. This is one of the things that just makes me so angry about the way people accuse our God. They talk about how unfair he is. They say, if he's a just God, why are there children starving in the world? And why is this my... And I always just say, hey, stop. That all of those bad things you just said are because of sin. They're because of sin. They're the same reason that there's women who just cannot wait to kill their own babies before they're even born. There was some woman, I forget who she was, she was in the headlines not long ago, said that she wished she had had an abortion so that she would have the opportunity to not feel bad about it. You know, it goes right back to what I was talking about this morning. The insanity of this age is just incredible. It's beyond all reason. It's beyond all reason, and that's the kind of thing they want to hold before us all the time. That's what Satan's Eden is all about, is hate. You know, Cain, he had a choice to make. God said, hey, I'll lift you up. If you'll just do well, I will lift you up. He said, but sin's lying at the door. And the phrase they're using there in the scripture, it's giving character, it's giving a body to that sin as a sin that comes upon one. It's actually a word that they used for a god in Mesopotamia that would come upon somebody. So Cain had a choice. He could come to the altar and he could repent. He'd say, Lord, I'm sorry. I did it the wrong way. You're right. My religion, the religious spirit I let affect me and beguile me. Just forgive me, Lord, please. I want to be accepted by you. I want to leave my anger here at this altar. If I could just leave my anger here at this altar, Lord, and you'd forgive me, then I'll do what you say. If Cain had had that attitude, it'd be a totally different story. It would be a completely different story. But he did not leave his anger at the altar. He took it with him out the door. And he went out. Probably trying to convince his brother of how wrong he was. But Abel wasn't going to give in to that. Abel wasn't going to change his mind. He had a revelation.
Right.
You can't change your mind from a revelation. If God has the grace and mercy to give you a revelation, that's what the devil doesn't understand. He can't take that away. He cannot take that away. He can't rip that out of your heart. Once God says, okay, this is my son. This is my daughter. I'm going to make myself known. I'm going to reveal myself. I'm going to step out and let them see me. Once you've seen God, the devil has no influence. He cannot do that. If you don't want him to, and who would want him to? So he goes to Abel, and that religious spirit always gets furious because it cannot make a child of God rebel. A true child of God, it can't. It'll try. It might trip you. It might knock you down. But no matter what, you get up, you dust yourself off, you repent, you go on. It keeps trying and trying. And the more it tries, the angrier it gets. The more powerful you get and the weaker it gets and the madder it gets. And this one had had enough. So Cain, because he did not go out that door without his anger, he took his anger with him. Then that anger was able to speak to him. It was able to keep the dialogue going. It was able to run Abel down more and more. It was able to kindle that fire of anger in Cain to the point where he struck his own brother down and killed him. He was a murderer. And you say, well, Brother Wes, I would never kill anybody. I'm not a murderer. I would never kill anybody. And I don't have to preach to you that if you hate your brother in your heart, then you've already committed murder. I don't have to tell you that. You all are well-versed in the scriptures. You know that. But what I do want you to notice is the identification marker. There's a definite identification. And you don't have to have that much discernment to know what hate is when you see it. Do you, brother? When somebody's under a spirit, you can recognize that. If they're not under a spirit of love, you can see it right away if you're just honest with yourself. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire. Wow. It goes to show you how important it is that before you walk out that door, you take every single service seriously. There are going to be services that are very thrilling and exciting. There's going to be services where revelation just goes off like firecrackers, one after another, and you just feel like you're going to come unglued. You're going like you could go out the roof easier than you could walk out the door. And then there's going to be services where you come in here and it's word upon word, line upon line, and you're sitting there and you don't realize that the Lord said, okay, let's turn it down to simmer for just a little while. You know, we can't boil all the time. You boil all the time to get that green coat around the yellow in the egg. You ever seen that? That's kind of gross. You don't want to leave it boiling too long. That's a little bit. It's not good. You got to turn it down sometimes. But every service we should say, is there something I need to leave here? Because this is the place to leave it. Amen. Don't go out there and take it to your brother. This right here, this is the place to leave it. Every single time. Every single time. When you go to take communion, do you really examine? At the church I grew up in, they passed around grape Kool-Aid and crackers. That was communion. It was grape Kool-Aid and crackers, and they passed it around. You had communion every single service. When you were kids, you'd poke and giggle each other and take it and make faces because the Kool-Aid was warm. Take the cracker and see who could get the biggest piece of cracker. It was a joke. Nobody told us about this, you know, what the seriousness of it and how we were supposed to self-examine and realize that most of the people there were probably attempting to take communion unworthily and how dangerous that is. But luckily, we've got men of God who tell us the truth. We look at the Word of God and we've got men of God who tell us the truth. And we know that when we come in to take communion, we've got to examine ourselves. It's so important that it be totally clear, that there be nothing there, that everything is repented of, everything is cleaned up, every attitude, everything, that we have nothing against our brother, nothing against our brother before we come to take that communion. Before we go to the foot washing, we need to realize, yeah, I was baptized, but, you know, I've been walking in this dirty world. When I worked at Eastman years ago, there was these powerhouses that were coal-fired powerhouses. And you could literally walk in the door of one of those and walk on the walk path only and walk straight in and go to the other side and walk straight out. And you'd be black as pitch without touching a thing. You'd have black all over you. You didn't touch anything, but you got a big black streak on your arm. You got black on the back of your neck. You got, because there was a little dust falling here, just the vibration of you walking. The walkway above you, just dust would just fall down on you. It was, you know, it was terrible. You know, getting your sinuses and everything, just in just a minute, just walking from here to that door right there, you get some black on you. And That's what foot washing is. We walk through this world, we have to be cleansed of that. We have to take note of that's what we're doing. That's what this represents. For us to take note, not get slowly just mired down by the filth and the darkness of this world, but we come in here and we give thought to it. We think, Lord, is there anything in my life hindering my walk? No? And the Lord says, you know what? Not only am I going to rid you of all that, and I'm going to clean you up, and I'm going to forgive you, and I'm going to make everything right, but I'm going to get down on my hands and knees and do it for you. What a God. I just want to worship him. I pray sometimes, Lord, show me a better way to worship you. Show me a deeper, greater, stronger way to show my love for you, because I don't have words for it. I don't have actions for it. I don't know how to show you, Father, just how much I love you. How deeply I care for you, Lord, and your ways. And when I make a mistake, it kills me. It kills me. That pain comes to you in the night sometimes when you're praying. You're like, oh, Lord, you're praying, and you're like, Lord, show me. What have I done? Have I done anything to offend you? And something will come back to your mind, and you'll be like, oh, I'm so sorry. And he goes, hey, look, I'm glad you're sorry. I can deal with that. I can work with that. Amen. You're not like Cain. Then all of a sudden the joy starts to grow. Oh, he's cleansing me. Amen. I'm not like Cain. Amen. I'm not going to walk out the door and take sin with me and take my anger with me. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do it. I'm not of that spirit. That's my identification. See, God in simplicity. That's your identification. That's what it's all about. You know, and God goes to so much trouble. He goes to so much trouble because, you know, whether it's hate in our heart or whether we actually take a gun and shoot somebody, you know, first of all, there, you know, let's just put it to rest right now. God doesn't need any hitmen. Right. Yeah. Amen. He doesn't need any one of us to defend his message. Amen. Not with a gun. He doesn't need anything like that. He's so much greater than that. That's foolishness. That's Cain. Amen. That is Cain through and through. Because murder is really, it's the highest form of disrespect, whether it be to hate your brother or hate someone or whether it be to actually kill them. It is the highest form of disrespect you can show to God. Because whether it be a sinner or a saint, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. In the image of God. I had a man tell me one time, he was very angry with the boss. And he said, I could shoot him and he would drop before he ever heard the bullet. This guy was a sharpshooter that could shoot from 600 yards away. And he said, before the sound reached your ears, the bullet would have already hit you. And he's talking about the boss like that. And he had told me months before that he went to a Presbyterian church. And I said, Jerry, I said, you're a Christian, right? He said, yeah. And then he's like, oh no, I know where this is going. I said, you realize that Ron, that was the boss, I said, you realize that Ron was made in the image of God? And he didn't know what to say. I said, and I wanted to encourage him. I didn't want to feel like wanting to feel like I was beating him up. So I said, now look, brother, I said, you don't want to do that. I said, that makes you like Cain. That would make you a murderer, a killer. I said, leave the judgment to God. I said, if you want to stand clean before God and get through judgment and everything, I said, you got to repent of that and you got to get that off your mind. I said, it'll take a weight off of you. It'll destroy that seed of bitterness that turns into a root that'll fill you with hate and ruin your life and make your relationships with everybody bad. Just forgive him. It's so much easier. You'll feel so much better when you go home and sit down and dinner tonight. I said, when you're on your way home tonight, just pray. Ask the Lord, say, Lord, forgive me for feeling that way, and I'll forgive Ron, and Lord, just bless him. I said, that'll give the room for the Lord to start dealing with Ron. I said, you won't have to worry about it. See, that's how we're identified. That's who we are. As sons and daughters of God, that's who we are. And it's so easy to, you know, Brother Branham said, if you want to know if you've got the Holy Ghost, check your desires, right? check your desires.
Right.
See, that's what happens to atheists. I don't believe in atheists. Somebody tells me they don't believe in God, I say, you're a liar. That's the first thing I tell them right off the bat. I say, you are a liar. And they don't know how to react. They're just, what do you mean? I said, you're a liar if you say you don't believe in God. I said, what the problem is you don't want to bow to God. You don't want to acknowledge His sovereignty. You think that you are bigger and better than the creator of the entire universe. The one who put that DNA sequence in your body. You're smarter and greater than Him. He should bow to you. I said, you know, you're of your father, the devil. It's not that you don't believe in God. It's that you love the devil. I don't believe in the devil. Yes, you do. You love him. I said, you absolutely love him. I don't love the devil. There ain't no devil. I said, well, the devil invented alcohol. Okay, I love him. I said, see, there's no such thing as an atheist. There is no such thing. They can't spot you if you tell them the absolute truth. And the fact is, God would not be a just God if anybody stood before him and really, truly, in their heart, did not believe. They're liars. And they are of their father, the devil. They are liars. Now, some of those people choose religion as a form of power and influence, and that they enter into the, you know, they'd never tell you they were an atheist, but they're no different than an atheist because they're the same way. They value their idea higher than God's idea, higher than God's word. Their idea is much more important to them than what God actually says. Their idea of what order is, their idea of the way things are, is much more important to them than the way the word states it. But how do we look at ourselves? In light of God's word. As Christians, we're caught up in this world so much. We're stuck in this evil, dirty mire, this darkness that we are surrounded with. We're stuck in it so much that sometimes we forget how God feels about us. We feel small. We feel like He doesn't see us. We feel like He doesn't know who we are. It'll beat you down so bad, won't it, brother? Won't it just beat you down sometimes? You get to the point where you just wonder, Lord, do you see me? Do you hear me? Does this stupid problem I'm facing, what is that to you? Because in one hand, we want to look at God and we want to say, you're the greatest. You created the universe. You created everything. You know what's in the depths of the ocean. You know what's in the furthest star. You know the names of whatever animals you put on planets a billion light years from here. You know, you know everything, Lord. How could you possibly care about this pain that I've got in my side? He said, well, I've got a pain in my side. That's how I know.
Oh, man.
I'm aching for my bride.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
Can't wait for the day that she and I are united again. And we look upon each other face to face. He says in Psalms 139, the psalmist says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Oh my. Think about that for a minute. Do you see yourself in these verses? I challenge you. Shut every single person out of this room except you. You're in here all by yourself. You're alone. It's just you and God. Let these be your words. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. See, now we can say he doesn't. We wouldn't say he understands our thoughts afar off because he lives within us. He dwells within us. Verse 3, thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. There is no escape. Not that we would want to, but he knows all your ways. He knows how you're acting when you're shaking hands with Brother Nathan, and he knows how you're talking to your husband at home, or how you're talking to your wife at home. He knows what you're doing when you're alone. He knows what you're doing with your friends. He knows how you act when you're at work. He knows all your ways.
Amen.
For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Oh, it could be embarrassing, couldn't it, outside of the blood of Christ? Could it not be embarrassing to have these thoughts? Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it. Unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? And it almost sounds, if you take it the wrong way, like this is negative. But I look at this as encouraging. I can't get away from him. No matter where I go, he's there.
Amen.
That to me, as a son of God, that gives me great joy.
Amen.
I'm never alone. When Jesus said, I will not forsake you, I will not leave you.
Right.
I say amen. That's the truth. That's been the truth all through the word. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. He actually was there.
Amen.
If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee. But the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. I don't care if we are in the darkest age. He sees everything. He knows everything you're going through. There is absolutely nothing hidden from him. This world has not gotten so ugly that he doesn't stay with you every single second of your life. This world has not gotten so dark that he has abandoned you, that he has left you. He walks closer than a brother. For thou hast possessed my reins. We've given him control. We've handed them to him. We've given, as believers, we have given our lives over to him. And we've said, you take control. He has the reins. He can control this flesh. He can give you victory over this flesh. These are not just, listen, somebody listen. I don't care what you're fighting. I don't care how many times you've failed. I don't care how many times your flesh has gotten the better of you. If you'll continue to never give up and to hand him those reins, if you'll just give them to him, he will possess them. He will give you victory. Some of you older saints, I want you to, not yet, but when I tell you to, I want you to raise your hand and testify. Some of you older saints, have you not fought for years maybe against something, struggled and struggled, and then come to the point where God gave you complete and total victory because you never gave up? You never said, I guess it's no use, but you just kept on going. You kept going to the altar. You kept praying. You kept believing. You kept struggling until you were finally able to give him full control. Until you were able to put those reins in his hand. How many of you have fought your way through over the years and the Lord has led you to victory over things that you thought you would never, never be able to beat? Listen, this is a testimony. This is how we're going to beat the devil. Young men, look, you may think, I will never beat this. It's too strong. I have good intentions, but I walk out the door and sin goes with me when I walk out the door and I fall on my face. Not even Sunday doesn't even pass away and I've already fell on my face again and I can't have victory. I'm telling you, that's a lie of the devil.
Amen.
There are saints here tonight who will stand and testify and tell you that is a lie from the devil. If you put your hands in the hands of God, if you hand him the reins to this beast that you have to dwell in, then he will set you free and he will take control by the power of the Holy Ghost. And he will lead you to victory, and that is a fact.
Amen.
That is not a daydream. That is not a fairy tale.
That is not fiction that you find out here in this world. This is the truth. The Holy Ghost is real. The power of God is real. And it will change your life if you'll let Him.
Oh my, how much He loves us. For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Oh, the world's so dark, they don't believe this. Oh my God. One day I was sitting in my office and I was at work and I was praying to the Lord and I was studying some stuff and I came across some images of aborted babies and I'm so sorry to even bring this up. But there was something that came up from inside of me. You know, I believe it was the Spirit of God. It was just a moan. Just a moan of sorrow. And how people do not look at His creation and see just how fearfully and wonderfully made a human being is, to where they would look at it as something to be thrown away, as a form of birth control. They have no more love for life, no more understanding of how precious a life is than to throw it in a trash can.
That's right.
And here the psalmist proclaims, "You had your hand covering me. And I was in the womb." Oh my gosh. Our God loves us so much. "I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works. And that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee. When I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, Thine eyes did see my substance. Yet being unperfect, and in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." We just now know, in this present age, this was written thousands of years ago, and we just now know that generation to generation were passed down through a written language called DNA. A written language that foretold our coming before we were ever born. Every word is the truth.
Amen.
"How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, there are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. Surely Thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against Thee wickedly. All Thine enemies take Thy name in vain." Who takes the name of the Lord in vain? Who is it that takes the name of the Lord in vain? Is it the man sitting down here at the bar telling dirty jokes? Is he taking the name of the Lord in vain? Has he ever even took the name of the Lord? Do you think that saying, "Oh God," is taking the name of the Lord in vain? You think using God or Jesus in a dirty joke or in filthy talk, you think that that's taking the name of the Lord in vain? You know who takes the name of the Lord in vain? A person who calls himself a Christian, but has a religious spirit. "I'm identified with Christ. I'm a Christian. I'm not taking that name in vain. I believe every word He said. Whether it be in the Scriptures or through one of His prophets or through one of His preachers. Amen. If He said it, I believe it."
Amen.
And it's Him that by grace and revelation has showed me if it was Him that was speaking or not. I've not taken His name in vain. Who takes the name of the Lord in vain? Let's start with the Pope and go on down.
That's right.
Having a form of godliness. They're taking it in vain. Is it going to do them any good? It's in vain. "They shall not be found guiltless." Why not? Because the blood does not speak for them. Oh, I bet Cain wishes that the blood of Abel would speak on his behalf instead of crying out from the ground for justice.
Right.
Your testimony, I'm a Christian, but your life is something else. If that's the case, you will not be found guiltless, the scripture says. These are dark words. These are hard words. Just because I'm not yelling them doesn't mean they shouldn't be taken. It's very serious. The world around us, the religious world, I fear for them, brother. I fear for those who take the name of Jesus Christ. Take the name of Jesus with you. They sing it really good. They walk out the door and they leave the name in the church and they take sin up and he jumps right on their back and rides them out the door. He hops up on their back and says, as soon as you get out of the parking lot, light one up. Let's run down to the ball game. Oh, don't forget to stop and get a six pack on the way. And he has those reins. Sin has those reins. They've taken the name of the Lord in vain. Simple identification. Simple identification. Satanism, whether it's guys in black robes with goat heads in their hands or whatever they do, all the way down to the Catholic Church, at least the guys with the black robes and the goat heads and all that junk, at least they're honest. They're not deceiving anybody. I actually have more respect for them, I think, than I do the Pope. Oh, my. Boy, I tell you, I would not want to take the name of the Lord in vain and be held guiltless. I just would not want to do that. The Lord gave Cain a way out. He didn't have to take up anger as he walked out the door. So here's the thing. We talked about this morning, talking about spiritual insanity. I'm going to close with this. I have no idea what time it is, brother. I hope I haven't gone over again. James 1, chapter 6 through 8. James 1, chapter 1, verse 6. Through 8. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, talking about asking for wisdom. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He's talking about people who ask the Lord for things, but they don't ask in faith. They waver. They're unstable. They're like something tossed around on there. A double-minded man, a man who says he's a Christian but lives like something else when nobody's looking. That's a double-minded man. A double-minded man is taking the name of the Lord in vain. A double-minded man will fulfill James 1:13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, and it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You know, I'm going to close with this. People who use the excuse and they say, well, I've tried and I've tried. You know, I'm saved by grace. If the Lord wanted me to have victory over this, he would have given me victory over this. For years, I've been to the altar. Started at church camp when I was a kid. Went up, got prayed for, went back, fell in my sin again. Basically, they become dogs returning to their vomit like the scriptures warned us about. He's come up. Sometimes they even testify, I got my victory. They're trying to pull a magic trick instead of taking something and accepting it by faith. Say, well, maybe if I say it, if I just say it to somebody, then maybe that'll do it. But it's got to, sometimes there's a battle. Sometimes when you see that temptation coming, you don't just go, oh, well, I guess if God wanted me to pass this, he wouldn't let this temptation bother me. Wrong. What you've got to do is grab onto the top host. You've got to grab on, and when that storm hits you and that heat and that passion of that sin is trying to take hold and grab your reins, you keep them tied to the top host and you fight your way through it. And you give it everything you've got, and you say, Satan, you are not going to win. I am not giving up this time. I'm not going to give up this time. And you fight through that first time. And guess what? You look over, Jesus is there, because he will not leave you. He will not forsake you.
Amen.
Then the second time, oh, Lord, here it comes again. Here it comes again. It was just 30 minutes ago, Lord. Lord, help me. Be with me. You grab the tie post again, and you don't let go. And it passes over you. And each and every time, it gets weaker. And you get stronger.
Amen.
That's a promise.
Amen.
That is a promise. I guarantee you, if you resist the devil, he will flee. And that's how you do it. God says, yes, I'll give you victory, but he says, you know, that victory doesn't come unless you're going to fight. You're part of an army. You're not just going to, you know, you're a bride, but you're not this dainty little thing that's, you know, never going to fight. You're going to be standing there with a sword right beside of me. We're going to be holding on to that same sword. It'll be my hand and your hand and the sword. And we're going to fight, and we're going to get through this thing. And we're going to have to go through a wall of flesh to get there.
Amen.
And he's got the sword that'll do it.
Amen.
If you'll start making Jesus your hero, then you can make it through this fight.
Amen.
You call on his name, he'll give you the power to make it. You keep calling on his name and you never give up. And then when the devil catches you unaware and he hits you from the side, get up, dust yourself off and go, okay, now you're really going to get it. I mean, that's, you honestly have to have this. You have to dig down deep and get this, because it's down in there. Back to the beginning. Let's just close. Musicians, whoever needs to come on up. And I just want to tell you this. The devil in this hour, he wants to make it so complicated. He wants to make it so hard. He wants us to get so caught up in what this one said or that one said or what this one's doing or what that one's doing. He wants us caught up in a bunch of rigmarole instead of hunkering down and holding on and keeping our maintenance up on our daily walk. He doesn't want us, instead of praying, he wants us talking about what they're doing over at this place or what they're doing down at that place. Instead of working on our relationship with him, he wants us talking about this other person's relationship with him and whether it's right or wrong. He doesn't want us looking at ourselves. He doesn't want us examining ourselves. He doesn't want us looking at ourselves in the light of the Word. He wants us looking at other people and trying to determine and judge whether or not they're in the light of the Word. How can you fix somebody else until you're right yourself? It's a very, very, very tricky age that we live in. The devil has got his game sharpened up. He's got his best players on the field. All of the demons are loose from hell. Everything is totally insane. This world has just, it's gone. Brother Branham was saying it was gone when he was here. I mean, very little time's passed. To some of the younger ones, it seems like he was somebody from way back in the day. But we know that's not the truth. We know how quickly life goes by. And we know that it was just a blink of an eye he was here. And he was saying, when things seem so much better than they do now, that it's all over. It's all over. It's all gone. There's nothing, you know. This country had already turned its back on God and it's done. There's not going to be a revival. There's going to be judgment. Well, the light has pressed the darkness into its deepest, darkest, thickest strain yet. It's distilled down the darkness to where it is so vile and contemptuous now that it cannot be denied. Even the ones who are part of it are kind of see it, but they just don't know what else to do. They just don't know what else to do. So it comes down to this simplicity. Look down deep inside of yourself. Forget about everybody else. And think about what your standing with God is. Ask the Lord, have I taken your name in vain, Lord? Because you don't want to stand before him that day living a lie and taking his name in vain. If that is happening, you want to get that cleared up right now. If you're guilty of that, you want to get that taken care of now. Because those who do it and continue to do it will not be found guiltless. And I will tell you this. This message tonight took a turn based on your pull. Because all I had was 1 John chapter 4 and Genesis chapter 4 and the Psalms. And I had no idea what God was going to do or what he was going to pull out of this. So put your doubt aside. Brother Nathan didn't fill me in on anything if the Lord dealt with you. Let's bow our heads. Oh, Father God, I love you so much. Lord, I feel so unworthy. Lord, at times when I look at myself in the light of your word, Lord, it can make us feel so guilty and so inadequate. But Lord, it was your love. It was your mercy. It was your care that made you look at this same man and say, oh, I love him. I'm willing to do everything. I'm willing to give up everything. I'm willing to get off my throne in heaven and come down and die for him. Lord, you give us everything, down to your very own life living within us. Lord, help us to manifest you. Lord, you're the only light that will bring sight back to the blind of this age. You're the only one, Lord, that'll open the ears of the deaf. You're the only one that will restore sanity to those that Satan is attacking in their mind, Lord. Whether it be psychological or whether it be actual physical, Lord. The devil attacks us so many ways, and you have so much grace. You've restored us, Lord. You've brought us back to divine healing. You've brought us back to the faith of the fathers, Lord. You've set up church order. You've given us an avenue, a place where we can come for help. Lord, you've given us so much. Lord, just give us eyes to see that. If nothing else, if a person leaves here tonight with eyes to see how, just that you've given them more than they really thought before they came in here tonight, that would be enough, Lord. Lord, we just love you. Lord, I ask you to be with the saints here at this church. I ask you to keep them strong. Lord, I pray a blessing on this place. And I ask you, Father, to give them a special blessing in this place, Lord. Knit them together, Lord, with godly love. Make it a place, Lord, where nobody speaks ill of anybody else, Lord. Nobody speaks ill of their brother. If it's not a brother, Lord, and they need to be corrected, let that come. Let it come like fire. Let it come like a two-edged sword, Lord, without apology. But, Lord, if it just comes to people being mean, Lord, I ask you to push that spirit away so strong that this place will be known as a place of God's love, God's real love. Lord, I ask you to bless each and every saint here, Lord, within the sound of my voice. I ask you to bless this pastor, Brother Nathan, Lord. I ask you to make him a mighty warrior, Lord, and a shepherd, Lord, to be contended with, one that the devil is in fear of, Lord. I ask you to anoint him from on high and give him strength, Lord, to stand in the gap and do his job, Lord, and be a mouthpiece for you in this dark age. And Lord, just help him. Help him to carry out his duties, Lord, with strength and vigor until the day that you finally roll back that sky like a scroll, Lord, and bring us home. Lord, come quickly, though. We don't want it to be long. We want you to come quickly. We would like to see what it's like to walk down streets of gold, minus sin, minus darkness, minus sickness, minus afflictions, and anything, Lord, that would hinder you. And Lord, just to see you in your full beauty without the presence of sin, to walk as Adam did, Lord, in the cool of the day with our Savior, our bridegroom, Lord Jesus. Lord, make it real to our hearts. We long for you, Lord. We love you so much. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. You appreciate the word of the Lord tonight. Amen. God's good to us, isn't he? Amen. I believe God's speaking to hearts tonight. Amen. Sometimes we come to church and we're waiting on God to move, but sometimes it's us that God's trying to move. Sometimes we come, we sit, and we sing, "I shall not be moved," and we're not singing it the way we ought to. Lord, I'm not going to move. I'm not going to respond, but amen. I come to church to be moved. I come to church to draw closer to God and to learn something. If we don't come to church to get helped, what are we coming for? Amen. I want to come to get helped. You say, you mean you, Brother Nathan? Yeah, I need help too. I need encouragement. I need strength. I need wisdom. Amen. We come to church for those things and to worship God and to learn more about him, gain strength from his word. Amen. You feel his presence here tonight? Amen. Let's just sing this together. Sister Stephanie's playing. Amen. Is that your desire tonight to be made a sanctuary?
Oh, Lord, prepare me. Yes, Jesus. To be a sanctuary. Pure and holy. Yes, Lord. I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Help me sing it tonight, Brother Furman.
Oh, Lord, prepare me.
Oh, prepare me.
Be a
Lord, prepare me.
Yes.
That floods my soul.
Tonight. Amen. His presence is here. I'm going to solicit some help tonight, Sister Tina, and Brother Furman, Sister Stephanie. Amen. How many believes tonight that there's no one greater than Jesus?
Amen.
Oh my. I can testify of it tonight. You may have met some wonderful people in life. You may have read about some wonderful people in history. There's no one greater than Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, I was so bound up. My life was so tied up. No peace within. And my chains could not hold me. I was confused, so lonely, so shackled with sin. Oh, but who is that coming on the other side of the sea? His eyes of compassion, oh, they're piercing through me. Oh, Legion, you had me bound for so long, but my mourning has broken. I'll sing victory. Hated, rejected by my neighbors, I was detested. No peace within. I was the talk of conversation for my multiple relations, so shackled with sin. Oh, but at noonday, when the sun was burning down, I hid my face from embarrassment, from my lifestyle so bound. There was Messiah sitting by the well, my story of life he began to tell.
Daughter, from out of your soul, shall tonight. Oh my. What a wonderful presence of the Lord. Amen. Let's just worship Him together tonight. There's no one greater. There's no power greater. There's no enemy greater. There's no demon greater. Satan himself isn't greater. There's no one greater than Him tonight. Oh my, what a blessed people we are. Have the shout of the King in the camp. To feel His presence bathing over us, confirming the word. We're blessed tonight. Amen. We're blessed. I don't know about you. I don't want to stand here and sing with my arms crossed and my frown on my face, I shall not be moved. But Lord, if you want to move and I'm in the way, then move me, Lord. Move me. Move my stubbornness. Move my attitude. Move my bitterness. Move whatever you got to move, Lord. If you got to move me to move, Lord, then just move me tonight. Oh, my. Oh, Jesus, use me. And oh, Lord, don't refuse me. Oh, surely there's a work that I can do. Crumble, and though the cost be great, I'll go for you. Oh, yes, Jesus, use me. Oh, Lord, don't refuse me. Oh, sure. Help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll go for Thee. Oh, dear Lord, I'll be a witness if You will help my weakness. I know that I'm not worthy, Lord, of Thee. Oh, my eyes of faith, I see Thee upon the cross of Calvary. Dear Lord, I cry, let me Thy servant be.
Lord, help my will to cry.
the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's the beautiful rose of Sharon. He's all the world to me. But best of all, He is my coming King. Amen. Oh, Jesus, use me. Oh, Lord, don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do. And
it's been good to be in His presence. Amen. Oh, I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth over everything, and all of my worry is vain. Oh, I'm living by faith in Jesus above. Or I'm trusting, confiding in His great love. Well, it's from a heart safe in His sheltering arms. Oh, I'm living by faith. Of life. Oh, I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies when my Master looks close at the strife. For I'm living by faith in Jesus above. Lord, I'm trusting, confiding in His great love. Why should I then care, though the tempest may blow, when my Jesus walks close to my side? Oh, I'm living by faith in my Jesus above. Oh, I keep trusting, confiding in His great love. We are from a heart saved. Our troubles will then all be o'er.
For my master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore. Oh, I'm a living by faith. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes. I keep trusting, confiding in His great love. Oh, it's from a heart saved in His sheltering arms. Hallelujah. Living by faith. Some sweet day, our troubles will then all be over. My master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore. Oh, we're living by faith in Jesus above. I'm trusting, confiding in His great love. Hallelujah to the Lamb. What if some did not believe? Would that hinder God? I won't hinder God. God's going to move with you or without you. You might as well just get in the move. Amen. Amen. I know Brother Furman sang it already this morning, but let's sing it again. Oh, the move is on, my Lord. The move is on. Oh, the move is on, my Lord. The move is on. Oh, I can hear the rustling in the mulberry trees. I know the move is on. Oh, won't you move on, brother? Just move on, sister. This is the moving day. Oh, you can move a little closer. Oh, where the streams are flowing, move on. Oh, the move is on, my Lord, the move is on. Oh, I can hear the rustling in the mulberry trees. Oh, Brother Branham said, thus saith the Lord, the move is on for the bride. Oh, the move is on, my Lord, the move is on. The move is on. Oh, help me to get into the turn, Lord. Oh, I can hear the wheels are turning just right. You just get them in the turn. I know. The move is on. Oh, won't you move on, brother? Just move on, sister. Oh, this is the moving day. Church, you can move a little closer. Oh, where the streams are flowing. Oh, won't you move on, brother? Oh, move. Not yesterday, not tomorrow. This is the moving day. Oh, you can move a little closer where the streams are flowing. Move on. God bless you. You can be dismissed if you want to be. Oh, the move is on, my Lord. The move is on. The move is on, my Lord. Oh, I can hear the rustling in the mulberry trees. And I know. Oh, the move is on, my Lord, the move is on. Oh, the move is on, my Lord, the move is on. And I can hear the rustling in the mulberry trees. is on. Oh, when pains of death seized o'er my soul, unto my Lord I cried. But till my Jesus came and he made me whole, I would not be denied. Oh, no, I would not be. Oh, you don't have to be denied. Oh, no, I would not be. Glory to God. Till my Jesus came and he made me whole. Oh, I would not. Glory to God. Oh, like Jacob in those days of old, I wrestled with my Lord. Oh, but instead with the courage bold, I stood upon his word. Somebody ought to praise him tonight. Oh, I would not be denied. Oh, I would praise you, Father, for what you've done. Hallelujah. Well, old Satan, he said that your Lord was gone, and he would not even hear your prayer. Oh, but praise the Lord, the work is done, and Christ, my Lord, he is here. So now I would not be denied. Boo, devil, no, I would not be denied. Till my Jesus came and he made me whole, would not be denied. Well, old Satan, he said that your Lord was gone and he would not even hear your prayer. But you just praise the Lord, 'cause the work's already done, and Christ our Lord, he is here. So Satan, he says that this message is wrong. There's mistakes here and there. Oh, but praise the Lord, vindication has been done. Christ, the mystery of God, is revealed. So now I would not be denied. Oh, sing it to him tonight. One of my special singer helpers tonight, she came up for prayer this morning and asked for prayer because she said she didn't have any voice. And then she sang in service tonight. Amen. God's a good God, isn't he? Amen. He's a healer. He's a present tense God. He's here tonight. Amen. People can say what they want. They can say they don't believe in God. They can say they don't believe in the message. I've come too far to go back. Amen. I've seen what it produces. They can take this whole world, but just give me Jesus. I wouldn't trade anything. I wouldn't trade Bill Gates' money. I wouldn't trade any famous celebrity's popularity, their money, their cars, their houses. Take it all. Just let me stay in this presence for a little while tonight. Oh, I would not be denied. Oh, no, I would not be denied. Till my on my soul, unto the Lord I cry. Till my Jesus came and he made me whole, I would not be denied. Oh no, I would not be. Oh, praise him on the cymbals, praise him on the organs, everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. Till my Jesus came. Hallelujah, I would not be denied. Well, old Satan, he said that your Lord was gone, and he would not even hear your prayer. But I want to remind you that praise the Lord, the work's already done. Oh, and Christ, my Lord, he is here. So I would not be. When he's here, all things are possible. Be denied till my Jesus came and he made me whole. I would not be. Oh, let's sing it again. Oh, I would not be. Glory to God. Oh, I'm feeling so much better talking about this good old way. I'm feeling so much better talking about the Lord. So let's go on talking about this good old way. Let's go on talking about the Lord. You see, the devil, he don't like it when we're talking about this good old way. The devil, he don't like it when we're talking about the Lord. So let's go on talking about this good old way. Let's go on. Oh, I don't know about you tonight, but I'm feeling so much better since we're talking about this good old way. I'm feeling so much better talking about the Lord. So let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, talking about the Lord. I know the devil, he don't like it when we're talking about this good old way. The devil, he don't like it when we're talking about the Lord. So let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, talking about the Lord. Oh, have you got it? Have you got it? Oh, have you got it like the Bible said? Have you got it? Oh, have you got it? Have you got it like the Bible said? Oh, we're gonna need it. Like the Bible said, oh, we're gonna need it. I know we're gonna need it. Gonna need it like the Bible said. Oh, thank God I've got it. Thank God I've got it. Oh, thank God I've got it like the Bible said. Thank God I've got it. Oh, thank God I've got it. Oh, I've got it like my Bible said. Oh, church, have you got it? Have you got it? Have you got it like the Bible said? Oh, have you got it? Yes, I've got it. Oh, yes, I've got it. Yes, I've got it. Like the Bible said. Oh, yes, I've got it. Yes, I've got it. Yes, I've got it. Like the Bible said. Oh, we're gonna need it. In this age, we're gonna need it. Oh, I know we need it. Like the Bible said. We're gonna need it. Oh, we're gonna need it. Gonna need it. Like the Bible says. Oh, but thank God I've got it. Thank God I've got it. Thank God I've got it. Like the Bible says. Thank God I've got it. Oh, yes, I've got it. Yes, I've got it. Like the Bible says. Oh, have you got it? Have you got it? God bless you. You can be dismissed if you want to be. Oh, have you got it like the Bible says? We're gonna need it. Gonna need it. Gonna need it like the Bible says. Oh, we're gonna need it. Bible said, well, glory, glory, hallelujah. Since I've laid my burdens down, oh, glory, glory, hallelujah. Since I've laid my burdens down, oh, I've been feeling so much better.
Sweet by and by. Oh, I am going.